Welcome to the Trochia podcast series.
We know that Christmas is coming, and there's some wonderful things that come with Christmas, right? Eggnog, and all kinds of delicious food, and family gatherings, maybe a trip that you're going to take. You love the lights going around the streets and seeing all the beautiful decorations and the Christmas tree and all the things that come with Christmas. And if maybe you're one of those that decorates their house all out, they have a whole, you have a place to save all the Christmas things and you can't wait to put them out at your home. And you look up to Christmas with great excitement and anticipation. And so when you hear this song, Comfort and Joy, your heart feels like a feather just tickled it. There's a sense of joy and anticipation. But then there's others of us who feel this is more like a really heavy sandpaper grating in our heart, because we don't feel the comfort. Because right now, where we are, we're not feeling the Christmas season. Maybe you're dealing with a difficult relationship. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe you have a son or daughter that's gone off in the wrong direction. Perhaps you've lost a loved one. Maybe not this time, but years ago, during this time of the year. I have a friend who lost her mother right after Thanksgiving a few years ago. And then about 3 years later, she lost her baby girl. So December for her is a painful season of remembering losses, huge losses in her life. And when she hears those songs, at first she feels empty. There's a sense of, I don't have it. I don't have comfort and joy. I'm out of it. I'm not into that song. And what we're going to talk about today is that that song is announcing good news of comfort and joy. We're going to look at Scripture and see where this comfort really come from. Paul understood that we needed comfort. And we're going to see in 2 Corinthians, he's going to talk to us about comfort. But before I start, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Because whether you are looking forward to Christmas, or you are struggling at this time of the year, the fact is every single one of us needs comfort. In the Scriptures in 1 Peter, it says, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It doesn't say, in case you have anxiety, in the off chance, possibly, maybe, you have anxiety. No, there's an assumption here, isn't there? Cast your anxieties. You will have anxieties. They will come. And this scripture tells us, what are we to do with them? The fact is, we all need comfort. And then let's look at Matthew 5. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This passage doesn't say, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be given time to heal. They will be given comfort. True healing comes when we mourn the wrong in our life, the things that happen that really should not happen, the injustices, the pain, the sorrow, the disappointment, the illnesses. Those are just wrong, and they shouldn't happen. And we mourn them. And when we mourn them, we receive comfort. And so today we're going to do something courageous. We want to lean into that comfort by admitting, first of all, that every one of us needs comfort. Now, in the Christmas story, the great message that we receive is that God has brought us comfort. And so let us turn to Matthew chapter 1. If you have a Bible, I recommend you go there. Mark this. Just want to invite you to do that. Come with me to Matthew chapter 1. Let me read the Christmas story over you. This is what we celebrate, comfort. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give them the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The angel tells Joseph, name your son Jesus. Now, that was an ordinary name. It was a name that a good Jewish family would name their son in anticipation of the Messiah, the Savior that was soon to come. Isn't it remarkable? Jesus comes, takes an ordinary name to do an extraordinary thing. We continue in verse 22. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. This is what the prophet says. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Comfort in the Greek is a word called parakaleo. Para is to come in close contact with. Kaleo is to call. Comfort is to call close. What we celebrate this Christmas, brothers and sisters, is that God has come close. God is now with us. And comfort comes from him. He's in the business of providing comfort. And we see in this passage that God comforts us with his very presence. But God also comforts us with his power. The world offers us all kinds of power, but God offers true comfort. And we see this in Isaiah 51. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mere mortals, that you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretches out the heavens and who lays out the foundation of the earth? For I am the Lord your God, the Lord Almighty. You are my people. God comforts us with his presence, and he comforts us with his power, the power that has this earth holding together, the heavens and the earth. And then he says, you are my people. We belong to him. God also comforts us with his understanding. He didn't just create us. He didn't just come close to us. No, he did more than that. He came as us, as a child in a manger. Isn't that remarkable? And he experiences what we experience. Look at Hebrews 4, what it says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. No, we have one who has been tempted in every way. That word tempted sometimes is translated who has been tested through suffering. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God comforts us with our presence. He comforts us with his power. And he comforts us because he understands our need. He understands what we all need as far as our hurt, our pain, our sorrows. He knows you right now. I am convinced this message is for you today. And Paul, in the second letter to the Corinthians, talks a lot about comfort because he understood the need for comfort. If you know this letter, you know that Paul was being talked about in Corinth that, you know, that Paul, he struggled a lot. Can't be possible that God has a blessing upon him because he's been beaten a bunch of times, put in jail. And so something's wrong with Paul. And Paul writes this letter to boast about his weakness so that he can boast about God's strength. And so we look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And here's what we read. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, the God of all comfort. God is the Father of compassion. Paul starts this section out by praising God for who he is in the context of understanding the pain that he suffers. Even in Christ, we will experience pain and sorrow. Obviously, they were thinking that Paul couldn't have possibly been in Christ if he was suffering so much, and that is simply not true. He even says in verse 9, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Because that's what we do, right? We tend to rely on ourselves, on our own strength. We rely on false comfort, on things that maybe give us temporary comfort. God comforts us in all of our troubles, Paul tells us. In Romans, he wraps it up in the best way. He says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us. So we have a choice. We can go and receive false comfort from the world, or we can lean into God and receive true comfort. Now, false comfort comes in all kinds of ways, right? We may have a drink, we may get into drugs, maybe we go shopping and buy those pair of shoes or the purse or the outfit. Maybe we watch TV for hours and numb ourselves so we don't think. Maybe we get on the internet, we go back to that relationship that's not good for us. Those are all temporary comforts. I once went to a temporary, I do this all the time, we all do. But I'll tell you a story of one time when I did. I was a single mom, and I was alone for Christmas. First time in my life I had been alone for Christmas for 2 weeks. My children were 1,800 miles away, and I was pretty depressed and alone. So I closed myself in the house, and I didn't dare open a bottle of alcohol because I was worried I would not stop. That's how sad I was. So instead, I leaned towards something else. I went to the hardware store, and I bought a paintbrush and a 5-gallon bucket of paint, maybe more than that, I think. And I painted my 1,800-square-foot house by myself over those 2 weeks. I moved the furniture. I took the pictures off. I totally repainted my house. Now, for a moment, that gave me a sense of comfort. I felt like, oh, my house is painted. It looks better, right? But you know what happened? Over time, as I look back to my new colors that I've chosen, you know what those colors reminded me of? Of the pain and the sorrow of being alone in Christmas. It gave me temporary comfort. All those things do. But what do they leave behind? A trail of shame and sorrow and even more pain. They don't last. But here's what God offers us. He offers us true comfort, eternal comfort, his very presence, his very power, his understanding. And that comfort, my friends, lasts for eternity. I'll tell you another story. Some years later, when I was just about becoming a new believer, my son, who was 18 at the time, started using drugs. And at one point, he disappeared for a month, and we did not know where he was. He happened to leave me a message somewhere in the middle of that month saying, Mom, I'm okay, I'm coming home tomorrow. But tomorrow came, my son did not come. And so I would wake up in the middle of the night with a sense of anxiety for my son. And by the way, if some of you have children like this, you know what I'm talking about. Or someone you love who is out there doing something, you know it's not good for them. And you are desperate for them and concerned about them. And it consumes you, that loss consumes you. And I would wake up, listen to the voicemail, remind myself that he was okay, that he was coming tomorrow, and go back to sleep because it gave me temporary comfort. But one day it didn't work. I listened to it 3 times, did not work. And in this moment of absolute anxiety, I almost ran out the door in my pajamas looking for my son. And just as I got to the door, I realized, where am I going to go? I don't know where he is. I have absolutely no clue. And in a moment of desperation, I literally just fell right there in front of the door and sobbed for my son. And as I picked up my head, our front door had a glass sort of decoration, and the light across the street shone through the door in such a way that on my kitchen cabinet was a perfect cross with the light. And that got me thinking of God. And I can't tell you that I heard an audible voice, but I tell you what I did feel and I sensed in my heart. God telling me, I have him. I love him more than you do. I know where he is. Give him to me. Trust me with your pain. And at that moment, I surrendered. I mean, what else could I do? I didn't know where I was going to go. I said, God, okay, you know where he is. Be with him. Protect my son. And I felt a sense of comfort. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, in that sense of comfort, that has never gone away. For 7 years, my son struggled with drugs. It did not go away like that. I had the sense of comfort that God had him, even when I did not know if he would ever stop. Even when I heard the phone ring and I was worried that that would be someone telling me he was dead. That comfort lasted me. Today, my son is drug-free. He's a believer. He's been clean for 5 years. He is doing great. I didn't know that was going to happen. And that comfort outlasts for me, not just for my son, but it also works in a sense that I understand that God loves my daughters, my family, my friends more than I do, and he's got them. And I can trust him. And that brings me comfort that I'm not the one that's going to solve all the world's problems. God is. This season, we celebrate that God is with us. And you can choose to go towards false comfort, or you can choose to accept God's comfort, eternal, that lasts, that changes a life forever. I am thinking some of you may need comfort today, because I'm convinced all of you need comfort today. And you need comfort for a variety of reasons. Here's the thing. When we accept comfort, our capacity for joy is increased. When we accept comfort, our capacity for joy is increased. It is difficult for us to lean into this idea that we need it. It sounds kind of girly, doesn't it? A little weak, but it is not the case. God tells us we all need comfort. This is why he came, to give us all comfort. I have a list of passages that I want you to consider. And before we go there, just prepare yourselves. I want you to see that Paul continues in 2 Corinthians, speaking about comfort again and again. In fact, he mentions it 10 times. The reason he does this is because Paul understands pain. He has been shipwrecked. He had been put in jail. He was flogged 3 times. He had been beaten. And yet, in this passage, he talks about comfort. So if I haven't convinced you that you need comfort, I hope Paul does. Because he says, we need comfort. We receive God's comfort so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. If you don't receive comfort today, brothers and sisters, how are you going to give comfort to others? And this is what Paul is telling us to do. So let's look at these passages. In Isaiah 49:13, we receive comfort because God has compassion for each of us. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted ones. I want you to consider, as I read these, pick one. Choose one. Mark one that's going to be for you this week. Perhaps it's that one. The Lord has compassion for you. Or perhaps you need Romans 8:28. God will work all things for the good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called in accordance to his purpose. God does not bring evil into our lives. But when it happens, when hurt comes, God is there to make it good, make something out of it. And we receive comfort so that we can give comfort. I didn't look forward to experiencing that with my son, but today I can comfort others because of what I experience. Perhaps you need to claim 2 Corinthians 4:15, because your suffering is not in vain. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God, that you may know that what you are dealing with today is not going to go to waste. God is going to use it for his glory and for your benefit and for the benefit of others. Or perhaps you need Philippians 4, verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. I am praying that today that the comfort you have received is eternal comfort, that you will look back to this moment today and say, that was the day God gave me comfort in this situation, and that comfort becomes a lasting comfort for you, that you may in turn offer comfort to others who are struggling as you are. And for those of us who didn't think we needed comfort, I pray that this week God reminds you of something you need comfort for. Because if you don't think you need comfort, you're counting on yourselves. And I want to encourage you to reach out to God and ask for His comfort. He came as a baby, was born and raised and became a man, a sinless man, and yet He died on the cross for our sins. Do you think He did that because we were okay? No, He did that because we needed it, and we need that today. The prophet Isaiah said to God, "Here I am, send me." And what did God send him to do? Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. God is calling each of us to receive His comfort and to be agents of His comfort unto others. So reach out your hands and let me pray for you, the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He turn His face toward you and give you peace. Now I invite you now, in the name of Jesus, that you go and be His agents of comfort. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We at Trochia are committed to helping you grow in Christ. Please join us at trochia.org. That's T-R-O-C-H-I-A.org, where you can sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, find blogs, videos, Bible study lessons, and more podcasts, all dedicated to Christian discipleship. And make sure to like our Trochia Facebook page to receive short daily devotionals. Be encouraged as our Lord's grace and peace goes with you.